Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to our show, It's Time to Awake. On this show, there will be various topics presented, examined, and explained with an emphasis on the Word of God and the doctrine of repentance through His Son, Christ. Romans 13 and 11, and that, knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep, but now is our salvation nearer than when we believe. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light. We hope that you may be edified by the word of God through Christ. Shalom.
So we give all praises to the Heavenly Father in the name of Christ for giving us yet another week and another opportunity to come on this radio station here and go over scriptures with our people. The topic that we're going to discuss today is setting the right examples for our children. Setting the right examples for our children. That is the topic that we're going to talk about today. The reason why we're going to talk about this topic, because oftentimes the things that happen in a child's life, you know, when they're growing up, oftentimes influence their behavior when they, you know, become older, even into adulthood. You know, they might have seen a lot of bad things or whatever, you know, or experienced a lot of negativity or negative things being done to them and stuff, or just seeing it when they were young, and that just affected them for the rest of their lives. And people don't understand or even know that that is a very serious thing. So when, for those of us who have children, we have to look at this and say, okay, you know what, to stop the future degenerates of what we're seeing and the future bad things that we're seeing, you know what? We should be raising our children the right way according to the word of the Lord. So, first thing first, question that I want to pose is, what is the purpose of everyone's life? Because, you know, we come in this world, we just, you know, we work, come home, you know, sometimes people go to church or whatever, you know, raise their children and send them off to school or whatever, and that's just to get a good education and stuff like that. So, and people think that's living. So, what is the purpose of our lives? Let's look at that. Let's go to Ecclesiastes chapter 12, and we're going to read verse 13.
Okay. Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verse 13. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep His commandments, for this is the whole duty of man.
Okay, so it says, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. The person who's speaking here is Solomon, one of the wisest persons to ever live besides Christ. He had it all. He had the women. He had multiple wives. He had the riches. He was the richest king ever. He had the houses. Everything that you can ever imagine that someone would desire or people desire in this life, he had it. And when he goes through, talks about all those different things, and when you get to the end here, he's saying, okay, let's sum everything up that I've talked about. Yeah, it's good to eat, drink, and be merry. It's, you know, it's good to have laughter sometimes, or better it is to go to the house of mourning sometimes, so on and so forth. All those things. But he was like, within all those things, let's sum it up. Let's hear the conclusion. And he's saying, to fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man.
Mm-hmm.
So this is why we were made, and this is why we were put on this earth, is to fear God, have that respect
mm-hmm.
and that reverence and that fear towards God, his word, his words,
mm-hmm.
and his judgments that he's pronounced,
mm-hmm.
and to keep the commandments. So whatever the Lord commanded us to do, we should do it, because that's our duty. That's why we were made on this earth. That's why we're put on this earth.
Mm-hmm.
We weren't made just to go through life just work, school, whatever, just and no regard for the Most High and his word or his son Christ.
Mm-hmm.
So he's saying this is the whole duty of man. So I wanted to start with this scripture as a foundation,
mm-hmm.
just to show what the purpose of man's life is.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
All right, so let's look at some examples now. Let's go to 1 Thessalonians.
Okay.
4. So again, setting the right examples for our children. There was a video being circulated recently.
Okay.
Of a little kid. I forgot. He was under 10 years old. I'll put it that way. I'm not going to say it because I forgot. You probably seen it too.
Okay.
Because it was on Facebook on our blog site. We did a blog talk. We did a blog paper on it.
Okay.
It was a kid basically talking about how he had sex for the first time.
Oh yeah,
you saw? You didn't see that?
No, I didn't see that one.
Oh, okay.
Now my Facebook is set to rated G, bro.
Trust me, it was a little kid. It wasn't nothing. Graphic, but
yeah. But you know what? We always used to brag about that when we were younger, and
right.
we always had somebody, you know, oh man, you know, I did this or I did that, you know, and you know because it was a way to uplift yourself amongst the neighborhood kids about
exactly.
where, you know, you were smoking cigarettes or you were, you know, playing girls or, you know, it was all something to uplift yourself, and it was something that we as kids looked up to.
Right.
You know, but that was because of our budding desires that were against the Word of God.
Exactly. Yep, exactly. So there really is nothing new under the sun.
Mm-hmm.
So read 1 Thessalonians 4, mm-hmm. 1 through 3.
Okay. Furthermore, then, we beseech you, brethren, and exhort you by the Lord Jesus, that as ye have received of us how ye ought to walk and to please God, so ye would abound more and more. For ye know what commandments we gave you by the Lord Jesus. For this is the will of God, even your sanctification, that ye should abstain from fornication.
Okay, so the scriptures are saying, we beseech you, brethren, and exhort you by the Lord Jesus Christ,
uh-huh.
that as ye have received of us how ye ought to walk and please God, because remember what we just read,
mm-hmm.
the whole purpose of man's life is to fear God,
mm-hmm.
the same thing as pleasing God,
mm-hmm.
and to keep his commandments,
mm-hmm.
so ye would abound more and more. Then he goes on to say, for ye know what commandments we gave you by the Lord Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
It says, for this is the will of God. Remember again, the very first scripture that we read.
Mm-hmm.
Fear God, keep his commandments. This is the whole duty of man.
Mm-hmm.
So this says, this is the will of God, even your sanctification, even what makes you clean in the eyes of God,
yeah.
that ye should abstain, meaning stay away from
mm-hmm.
fornication.
Don't even think about.
Exactly. Don't even think about it. Don't even go into it. That video that's been circulating or that was circulating for a while with the older person in the background videotaping it and basically exhorting it or whatever
mm-hmm.
or promoting it,
yep.
that's wrong. That's setting a bad example for our children,
mm-hmm.
because this kid is not being taught on how a man and a woman should deal in an intimate setting.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. The scripture says that a man should leave his father and his mother and cleave to his wife.
Okay.
So if this kid continues that way and someone doesn't show him the right way to live, mm-hmm. to keep God's commandments, what's going to happen? He's going to go around, continue to have sex, get women pregnant, you know, and who knows whether or not if he's going to take care of them or not.
Mm-hmm.
And so the whole thing is just going to continue on and on and on and on and on and on and on.
Yeah, to the next generation, yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So when we talk about setting the right examples for our children, this is one example of it, man.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And, you know, and I've heard people before, grown people, I've heard women say this too, oh, you know what, I'm going to teach my son how to be a player. You know what I'm saying? I'm going to teach him how to get women, what things to say.
Yeah, to be wise in this world.
Yeah, exactly. Just foolishness. Those are the bad examples that we should not be setting for our children.
Mm-hmm.
The other part of this is, too, in order to set the right examples for our children, we ourselves that our parents have to be living that right example.
Yeah.
So your kid shouldn't be seeing you go from man to man or whatever in the case of a woman, or woman to woman in the case of a man, or nowadays vice versa.
Mm-hmm.
Gay parents are raising children.
Mm-hmm.
Children should not be seeing that example,
mm-hmm.
because that's going to have a lasting effect on them.
Mm-hmm.
That's going to carry on through their life.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, for people out there, and we know how it goes, you know, most people are not going to, you know, even consider what's coming out, but that's mm-hmm. not our problem.
Mm-hmm.
The Lord says that he always has a remnant that will follow him no matter what.
Mm-hmm.
And this is who, you know, these scriptures are going out to, that remnant, that small remnant
mm-hmm.
that will do God's will no matter what. So just look at these examples, you know, write them down,
mm-hmm.
write down the scriptures,
mm-hmm.
read them for yourselves, study them for yourselves. You know, any questions or anything that's unclear, or if you need help or whatever, you can always contact us. You know, I said the number before, I'll say it again, 877-871-1712. You can always email us, you know, bodyofchrist@ureach.com. You know, so we're there. You know, but these are things that we have to look at. So just read 1 Thessalonians 4:3 again.
For this is the will of God, even your sanctification, that ye should abstain from fornication.
All right, so I'm going to read this, mm-hmm. and the light in here is... So fornication says human sexual intercourse other than between a man and his wife. That's what the dictionary defines it as. Right?
Okay.
Let's see how the Bible defines it. Go to 1 Corinthians 7.
Okay.
And read verse 1 and 2.
1 Corinthians 7, verses 1 and 2. Now concerning the things whereof ye wrote unto me, it is good for a man not to touch a woman. Nevertheless, to avoid fornication, let every man have his own wife, and let every woman have her own husband.
So what is Paul saying here? He's saying to avoid fornication, every man should have his own wife and every woman have her own husband.
Mm-hmm.
So if that's not the case, if it's a boyfriend or a girlfriend,
mm-hmm.
or two gay people,
mm-hmm.
what is that called? Fornication.
Yeah.
That's how the Bible is defining fornication. So we want to make it clear to people, mm-hmm. so that they can understand.
Mm-hmm.
Anything, any kind of sex other than between a man and a woman that is married is considered fornication, period.
And Paul further clears that up in the beginning of Romans 7, where he says, until death.
Yep, exactly. Yep, exactly. So, you know, these are things that we have to look at, man, you know, and teach our children these things.
Mm-hmm.
Go from there to Proverbs mm-hmm. 31, because I okay. mentioned before that I've witnessed and I've saw people do this, and then the one witness that I saw was actually a woman talking about this, that, you know, she's teaching her son, you know, how to get women and how to be a player and this and that and blah, blah, blah. And some of it was really on too, you know? And that's what she's saying. And, we realize, you know, the world is very evil and corrupt, mm-hmm. and a lot of people just don't know better, like us. We didn't know better at one point. You know what I'm saying?
Exactly.
It's like the example
exactly.
you said, when you were younger or whatever.
Yep.
This is something that you used to brag in the neighborhood about.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So a lot of people don't know any better, but that's why we're coming out. The Lord has put the Spirit on us and other people as well
mm-hmm.
to come out and bring out these scriptures mm-hmm. to our people. So when you're hearing these scriptures, take heed to them.
Mm-hmm.
Don't continue on in that foolishness.
Yep.
So how should a mother deal with her son in that case as far as women? Should the mothers be teaching the sons, hey, listen, man, women are this way or that way. You got to do this, you got to do that. To impress them. Should they be doing that? Let's read Proverbs 31, verse 1 through 3.
The words of King Lemuel, the prophecy that his mother taught him, what, my son, and what the son of my womb, and what the son of my vows? Give not thy strength unto women, nor thy ways to that which destroyeth kings.
Because in this world, man, you look at the men nowadays, what they do, they give their strength, they give their all to women.
Yep.
You can look at, like, some of the most powerful men there is. What usually brings them down? A woman.
Yep.
You know what I'm saying? Because they give their all to that woman.
Yep. And this even goes into men that are dealing with a bunch of women.
Yep.
Because what? You got to...
Exactly.
You spending all your time and your free time or whatever trying to sneak around this one to give something to that one,
exactly.
to spend some time with this one. What side chick number four said with the bae and boo and all this other stuff. You know, it's crazy because you're giving your strength to women, and it's wrong.
Exactly. But we see that this woman here, a righteous woman,
uh-huh.
that an example is written about that we're reading right now, was teaching her son not to do that.
Yeah.
So the things that were written aforetime were written for our learning. So the things that were written way before our time, it was written for future generations.
Mm-hmm.
to come read it and then follow those same examples.
Yeah.
So that's why this was written, and that's why we're bringing it out. So the women out there should not be teaching their sons how to pick up women or how to be a player or whatever word that you might want to use. We should not be teaching our children that
mm-hmm.
because that's going against the commandments of the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
So let's go from there to Ephesians 6. Let's now look at the men. And see if it's any different instructions for the men. So we're going to read Ephesians chapter 6, verse 4.
Ephesians chapter 6, verse 4. And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord.
Okay, so it's saying, and ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath. So first of all, for the men out there that are fathers, the first thing that you should do is have a care or a concern for your children. Because, you know, a lot of men out there, they just get women pregnant, leave them all by themselves to raise the children, don't even know that they have kids, sometimes don't even care, right, mm-hmm. that they have children.
Yeah.
The scriptures are saying that provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. So you have to be teaching your children the things that are pleasing in the eyes of God, to avoid fornication, not to steal, not to follow their friends, go into a department store, take things that doesn't belong to them, so on and so forth. Why? Because if they continue to do that, they're going to catch the wrath of God. When the police come, arrest them or whatever, or handle them a certain way, that's the wrath of God. Because the scripture says the powers that be are ordained of God.
Mm-hmm.
So the Most High and His Son are the ones that put these people in their power to do whatever it is that they're doing.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So we have to be teaching our children so that they don't catch the wrath of the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
And obviously by a lot of the examples and a lot of the stories that's been coming out recently,
mm-hmm.
this hasn't been the case.
Yep.
You know, there's one or two, you know, examples, but for the majority of it, man, this is not the case. And like I said, the things that, you know, we experience as little children have a lasting effect that carries on out through the rest of our lives.
Mm-hmm. Now, you have to look at the story, too, of the high school senior that was accepted to 29 different universities and offered a total of $3 million in scholarships.
Wow.
Was that young lady allowed to be anything that resembled or anything that started to look like a thought?
Nope. Yeah.
You know, so there's different conclusions to different ways that we raise our kids, and we have to realize that.
Exactly. Yep, exactly. So, and that's the point. Now, like I said before, setting the right examples for our children, this mm-hmm. goes into anybody that's raising children, because like I said before, mm-hmm. sometimes the mother ain't there because they just don't care.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of times the father ain't there, and we don't have, even have to explain that because there's so many fatherless households.
Uh-huh.
So sometimes it could be other relatives that are raising children. So I want to deal with that also.
Mm-hmm.
Let's go to the book of Esther.
Okay.
Chapter 2. And we're going to read 5 through 7. Because in that video that I mentioned before, that wasn't the kid's father. I think they said that was his uncle or something like that.
Okay.
That was like, you know, promoting that stuff.
Okay.
So Esther chapter 2, read 5 through 7.
Okay.
Now, for people that don't know the story, I mean, this is, you know, you got to read this on your own. We can't spend a whole lot of time on it because we only have a half an hour today. But this woman, this man and this woman were righteous people in the eyes of the Lord. And unto this day, we celebrate a feast day that, you know, because of the acts that they did through the Lord or whatever, we still celebrate it today, the Feast of Purim.
Uh-huh.
But these were righteous people, but we're going to look at how they were raised. So Esther chapter 2, verse 5 through 7.
Now in Shushan the palace, there was a certain Jew whose name was Mordecai, the son of Jair, the son of Shimei, the son of Kish, a Benjamite, who had been carried away from Jerusalem with the captivity which had been carried away with Jeconiah, king of Judah, whom Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, had carried away. And he brought up Hadassah, that is Esther, his uncle's daughter, for she had neither father nor mother, and the maid was fair and beautiful, whom Mordecai, when her father and mother were dead, took for his own daughter.
Okay, so this happens today, right? You know, people, the parents might have died or whatever, or are locked up in jail somewhere or whatever.
Yeah.
And another relative, you know, is raising the children, right?
Uh-huh.
That happens a lot, correct?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So this is what happened in this case here. He was bringing her up like it was his own daughter.
Mm-hmm.
So skip over in same chapter 2 and just read verse 20. How did she behave towards him? What did she do?
Esther had not yet showed her kindred nor her people as Mordecai had charged her. For Esther did the commandment of Mordecai like as when she was brought up with him.
Okay, so like I said before, you got to read the story on your own in detail, but when it talks about Esther had not shown her kindred or her people or whatever, because when they were brought into captivity to the king, brought all the virgins before him, the women or whatever, because he was looking for a wife, son, and so forth.
So he had a beauty pageant.
Yeah, exactly. So Esther didn't reveal that she was a Jew or whatever. That's what it's talking about.
Yeah.
Because Mordecai, the man that raised her, told her not to do that. So it says that she followed his commandments even as when she was brought up with him.
Mm-hmm.
So, and like I said, when you read the rest of the book, this chapter and stuff, or the book, you see that Esther and Mordecai was righteous people. They taught her the commandments, and she kept it.
Mm-hmm.
So he set that right example for her, which she followed and took with her, even in her adult life, because she was older here, right?
Yeah.
So it's showing you the same example. So for people out there that's raising children that might not be your own biological children, the same thing goes for you as well. You have to be set that right example
mm-hmm.
for the children so that they don't come up and, you know, like I said, be these bad examples of what we're looking at today.
Yeah.
Another example, let's go to 2 Timothy chapter 1. Because this is the bulk of it. Grandparents raising children.
Yeah.
2 Timothy chapter 1,
Verse 5. Okay, 2 Timothy 1 and 5. When I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, I am persuaded that in thee also.
Okay, so this is Paul writing a letter to Timothy talking about the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which first dwelt in his grandmother mm-hmm. and his mother,
mm-hmm.
right, that Timothy grew up with.
Mm-hmm.
Right? They first had that faith, and obviously if you're coming up in a household like mm-hmm. that and you're being trained that way and being taught those things, you're mm-hmm. also going to be that way. And it shows you the role that these women play. So the same thing today. For people out there that's grandparents mm-hmm. raising their children, same thing.
Mm-hmm.
We have to be sent the right examples for our children.
Yeah.
Because Timothy took this even into adulthood. So skip mm-hmm. over to chapter 3.
Okay.
And read verse 15.
And that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus.
Okay, so he's saying that from Timothy was a child coming up with his grandmother and his mother, he has known the holy scriptures.
Mm-hmm.
So they weren't telling him, well, you know what, man, that old book, man, you don't have to believe that.
Yeah.
They weren't saying that. Mm-hmm. He knew the scriptures and he understood it, which is going to make anybody wise unto salvation now through the faith which is in Christ Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
So these are examples that were written for us to follow, that we have to look at. With that, we say, have a good day.
Yep. All praises to the Most High through Christ. And today's topic is going to be, today we're going to talk about why does this keep happening to our people and how to resolve it. You know, because, you know, we're always painted in a bad light. Like when Eric Garner died. I believe that was the brother that died in Staten Island.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. That, he's selling loose cigarettes.
Yep.
And they put him in a chokehold.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the reason was, he was doing illegal activity and, you know, basically the comments was allowed to be put out in the media that, you know, well, he was doing wrong, so he deserved to die. Same thing with Mike Brown. There was commentary from, I don't know what some people call it, the right. I don't know. But it was a commentary from some people that, you know, he had just stolen something from a store. You know, he was a thief. You know, so that's why he got an altercation that resulted in his death. No big deal. You know, there was, there's different things like that. A guy went into Walmart to buy a BB gun for his kid. Walking through the store with the gun and basically got shot. Well, he shouldn't have had a gun in the store. Well, why are they selling guns in the store then?
Mm-hmm.
You know, but there's always some excuse, you know, and this commentary from all these different angles always raises, like it was designed to raise people's emotions and anger and just get us embroiled in arguing and fighting with each other. Even amongst our community, there's different, you know, viewpoints of what's happening. But there is one viewpoint that really matters, and we're going to go to the Bible to hear that viewpoint. So why do these things keep happening? You know, now, you know, I bet you somebody's going to say, oh, these people got shot in the church service, you know, in there studying Bibles, you know, praying and stuff, they got shot. Well, black people shouldn't have been in that crazy denomination. You know, it's going to be somebody to say that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I see something on Twitter, somebody had said, you know, and then they was, you know, black people Twitter was going off on it or whatever. And they had put it on the internet that for some reason or whatever they deserved it. You know, because that's how people look at us, you know, and that's how people look at whether it's black, Latino, you know, American Indian, you know, minorities, whatever. They, you know, they look at those people like they're less than nothing. Like if something bad happens to them, you know, but if something happened to somebody's dog, you know what I mean? Oh my God, he did something to a dog. You know, let's put him in jail and kill it. But you know, when you got people killing our people or our people get killed,
right.
You know, well, you know, it was the excuse number 17 this time. It was, you know, so let's look at why does that happen? And you could go institutionalized racism. You could go, this is a wicked world. You could go whatever. Let's go with what the Bible says. How about that? Because there are things in the Bible that, remember the Lord said in Isaiah, when a man hears what's happening, his ears going to tingle.
Yep.
There are things in the Bible that are not brought out in religion that will make you like, what is that? What? You know, what? Huh? Let me, you know, so let's check that out. Let's go to Ecclesiastes 7. And read verse 29.
Lo, this only have I found, that God hath made man upright, but they have sought out many inventions.
They sought out many inventions, so they decided to part ways with the way of the Lord, and they decided or got ideas to create things to substitute for that.
Mm-hmm.
Like if you look at the history of Nimrod and the Tower of Babel, you know, I'm paraphrasing from the account in Josephus, he wanted to like take revenge against God, and he wanted to build a tower so high that if the Lord would flood the earth again, that it would be high enough for him to escape the flood, and he wanted to get as high as he could so he could do the sun worship, and he was compelling men to worship that religion so that they would have courage to separate from God. So his government descended into tyranny where he was forcing people to, you know, take hold on opinions. And then when the languages got scattered, you know, people got scattered, they took those religions and that sun god worship and all that stuff, and then the sun and not the moon worship, but Venus worship, you know, Easter and stuff like that, the male, female, all the sexual thing all entwined. They took that into every country. That's why you have pyramids and sun god worship and all that stuff on every continent.
Mm-hmm.
And in every language, there's traditions like that. You know,
yep.
A pantheon of gods.
Yep.
You know, but that started with him. And so that stuff was invented because the Lord never had that. You know, with Adam and Eve, Adam and Eve wasn't celebrating Father's Day.
Nope.
Or Christmas or Easter or Mother's Day.
Mm-hmm.
They wasn't celebrating stuff like that. They was walking according to the word that God had gave Adam, and he gave it to Eve. Right?
Yep.
So something happened. You know, we went away from that. Let's go to Isaiah 24. And the farther and farther we go away from that, you know, we get the consequences of going away from that word.
Mm-hmm.
And it was an intelligence or a spiritual understanding when it first started, but we went so far away from it that by the time the Israelites came out of Egypt, the basic understanding of man was so far away from that, that this understanding had to be written down and commanded.
Exactly.
You know, like, keep the Sabbath day. No, this ain't no joke, because if you don't keep the Sabbath day, you're going to die.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this is a commandment, exclamation point, exclamation point. You know, but we just, you know, that's how far away we were from the original understanding.
Yep.
Where at first we had eternal life. All right. So read Isaiah 24. Read verses 5 and 6.
The earth also is defiled under the inhabitants thereof.
Why? Read on.
Because they have transgressed the laws, changed the ordinance, broken the everlasting covenant.
Hold on. The transgressed the laws, changed the ordinance, broken the everlasting covenant is just talking about, remember when I just said that it was no longer an understanding, it had to be written down?
Yep.
So even though it was written down so people could observe it to get an understanding of how to do it, they still went against that.
Exactly.
All right, read verse 6. And what's the result? I'm sorry.
Isaiah 24, verse 6. Therefore has the curse devoured the earth, and they that dwell therein are desolate.
Uh-huh.
Therefore the inhabitants of the earth are burned, and
uh-huh.
few men left.
Read verse 17.
Isaiah 24, verse 17. Fear and the pit and the snare are upon thee, O inhabitant of the earth.
So this is the result
mm-hmm.
of the people going away from what was given in the beginning. They were given it, you know, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and others came back, had the understanding, obeyed the Lord, but then their descendants just went way off.
Yep.
And as a result, this is what happens to them.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, there are things that happen as a consequence. There's fear, the pit, and the snare. Everything is a trap. Everything could, anything around here is, it could be an end.
Exactly.
That's how the world is now.
Mm-hmm.
How do you go from the earth bringing forth food of itself to I have to read labels on food to make sure my kids don't have birth defects?
Yeah, it's crazy.
How do you go from living 900 years, 700 years, you know, with no ailments,
mm-hmm.
to 7,500 whatever years, taking 35 pills a day? How do you go from that, from one to the other?
I was going to say, even now in our communities, man, now they're dying younger, 16, 17 years old, getting shot.
Yeah. How do you go from living hundreds of years, or even, okay, what, Abraham was 100, I think around 140, something like that. You know, so and even in the older times, you know, like David lived a while,
mm-hmm.
you know. How do you go from that to dying at 14, dying at 18? How? There was something happened to the way we live.
Exactly.
We forsook the way to live. That's what happened.
Yeah.
Okay. So let's read, I want to go to Hebrews 1 right quick, because I want to see what Christ said about this, you know, and, you know, why we're in this condition in our communities. I just saw something on the internet somebody had sent to me. Okay. Yeah. Sorry if it was a little low. But somebody just forwarded this to me. You know how they was lynching black people?
Uh-huh.
They was lynching Latinos.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, as well.
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah, I was amazed. I was like, oh, that's something that happens only, according to the Bible,
yep.
to the same people.
Exactly.
Okay. So let's look at Hebrews chapter 1, verses 1 and 2.
Hebrews 1, verse 1.
Mm-hmm.
God, who at sundry times and in diverse manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets.
Stop. God, who in many times and in different ways spake in time past unto the fathers, our ancestors, by the prophets. Read verse 2.
Has in these last days spoken unto us by his Son,
mm-hmm.
whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds.
Okay, so when Christ came and spoke to us, and people copied down his words and left us this record, it was already the last days.
Yep.
It was already the last days when Christ came.
Exactly.
Okay, so the end was near when Christ came.
Mm-hmm.
Let's go to Luke 21.
All right.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
All right, what verse?
22.
Luke 21, verse 22.
Mm-hmm.
For these be the days of vengeance, that all things which are written may be fulfilled.
So what are the all things that are written may be fulfilled?
All the prophecies and stuff that was written aforetime.
So, let me see. So, we know that Christ, when he was asked questions, you know, he answered a lot of his questions, or a lot of his conversation with people was, it is written, it mm-hmm. is written, it is written. So, here he's going and he says, listen, he's talking about the fall of Jerusalem and thereafter, you know, in this passage. But he said, listen, these are the days of vengeance or repayment, that all things which are written may be fulfilled. So how, with him always quoting the Old Testament and him saying this, how can we discount the Old Testament?
Yeah, we cannot.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So that scripture in Isaiah 24, you need to look at that.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. So the earth got defiled under the burden of people sinning.
Exactly.
Right? Yeah. And these are the days of vengeance that all things which are written must be fulfilled. Let's go to Leviticus 26. And no, we ain't going to read about fulfilling tithes, so don't look forward to anybody asking for some offerings. We're going to read another part of Leviticus.
All right, that'll work.
14. Now, this is something that was going to be fulfilled after the fall of Jerusalem and the diaspora, the scattering of those Israelites to the far corners of the earth, every country on the earth, because he tells you in Luke 21, they will be taken captive, led away captive into every nation under heaven. Right? So this was something that was going to be fulfilled in that time, and it's still being fulfilled now. Read on. 26 and 14 of Leviticus.
But if ye will not hearken unto me, and will not do all these commandments, and if ye shall despise my statutes, or if your soul abhor my judgments, so that ye will not do all my commandments, but that ye break my covenant, I also will do this unto you. I will even appoint over you the terror, consumption.
Oh, wait a minute. The terror? Wasn't some people calling this attack in the church a terrorist attack?
Yep, domestic terror, whatever term they put on it.
Yeah. But those four little baby girls that got burnt in that church in the 60s, wasn't that a terrorist attack too?
Yes, it was, yep.
Okay, so it's the same thing still happening.
Exactly.
If we were pleasing the Lord more
mm-hmm.
than we were then, less of this stuff would happen, you would think.
Right? Yeah, exactly.
Okay, so read 16 again.
Leviticus 26, verse 16. I also will do this unto you. I will even appoint over you terror, consumption, and the burning ague.
Yeah, disease, yeah.
That shall consume the eyes and cause sorrow of heart, and ye shall sow your seed in vain. Well, your enemies shall eat it.
Yeah, so anything we do, it's like people going to take advantage, okay? Alexander Graham Bell, truthfully, according to some accounts, was having serious issues until his servant, assistant, crossed a couple wires and did something on his own, and then Alexander Graham Bell was in the other room, and Guess what? Hey, dude, is that you? I hear you. And made a multi-gazillion dollar company out of it.
Nope.
But what about his assistant that actually invented it?
Yeah, he didn't get any credit. And that's just one example, too, bro. Because the one thing I'm finding out, man, a lot of these things, when they explore and come up with these different ideas and stuff like that, there's a lot of people who are behind it. A lot of the space stuff, too.
Yeah. There was a professor in, I forget if it was University of Texas, but he wrote four algorithms that defined the hyper terminal transport protocol.
Wow.
Okay?
Yeah.
Wrote it in the 70s.
Mm-hmm.
So it was basically he defined how the internet was going to be.
Right.
Right? How much money is he making off the internet? He was a brother, too.
He's not making any because Al Gore discovered the internet.
And global warming.
Oh, yeah, that too. Yeah. I forgot that one.
You know, yeah. You know, hey, my man that be out there down the way on the corner every day for the last 25 years, he could have tell you it was getting warmer.
Exactly.
How much credit does he get?
None.
Okay. So this is the type of stuff that happens to us. But it says in verse 16, the Lord will appoint this over us. Read verse 38.
Leviticus 26, verse 38.
Mm-hmm.
And ye shall perish among the heathen, and the land of your enemies shall eat you up.
Okay. Because it's like hire for us to get a job.
Exactly.
Last hire, first fired.
Yep.
Our unemployment is like, in some communities, 35, 50, whatever percent. Oh, the national unemployment is down to 7%. Really?
Mm-hmm.
Not in my community.
Yep.
You know, so it's hard just for us to do, but didn't it say the Lord will appoint this? And there's a laundry list between verse 16 and verse 38.
Exactly. You know what I was going to say, too, is even though, like, we're bringing out examples and stuff about the issues that's happening here in America.
Mm-hmm. It's all over the world.
Exactly. This affects us all over the world where the Lord's people are scattered at. So it's not just here in America. We're bringing this example now because it's been on the news recently and stuff.
Yeah. Yeah.
This happens all over the world wherever we're scattered. So when you go to Central America, whatever, their enemies, the heathen, eat them up in their land. They don't own anything. The original people that was brought there in slavery, they don't own anything. They don't own the land themselves.
Mm-hmm. So how about the ethnic cleansing going on currently? I think it's in the Dominican Republic.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I've been hearing about that on the radio. Yeah.
Yeah. So what about that?
Yep, exactly. You know? Yeah.
You know, so, hey, you know, what about what happened in Australia?
Yep.
They came over there, 30 million Aborigines.
Yep.
Enslaved them. Used to bury the babies in the sand on the beaches up to their neck and played, it was something bigger than a golf club, but like baby head whack-a-mole, you know, see how far they could knock the head. They used to have contests with the babies.
That is insane.
In this country, they used little babies as alligator bait when they wanted to catch alligators.
That's insane.
You know, but this ain't to talk evil about the people that did it.
That's
we're
true.
Not trying to start a race war.
That's true.
We want our people to look because these are identifying markers. Let's go to two scriptures. Let's go to Psalm 17.
Yep.
And excuse me. Read 11 and 12.
Psalm 17, verses 11. They have now compassed us in our steps.
Big brother.
They have set their eyes, bowing down to the earth, like as a lion that is greedy of his prey, and as it were a young lion lurking in secret places.
Just laying in wait, coming in among you on the sneak tip, and then devouring you. Right? But should our response be protesting? Should our response be to take up arms? should our response be to going back to the modern-day inventors of both of those methods, go back to looking at what Martin Luther King said or Malcolm X said before he studied the Bible again after he got kicked out of the Nation of Islam? I'm talking about him before that, because after he got kicked out the Nation of Islam and read the Bible again, he started picturing, yo, this stuff that's happening to y'all, you're the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Mm-hmm. And then when he started bringing that out, guess what? He had 37,000 bullets in him. He had bullets going in him in the bottom of his feet. Okay? But when he was preaching all that other stuff, you know, they was looking for him to get him, but that was after he started preaching the Bible. Mm-hmm. But looking at that any means necessary or peaceful protest, is that what we should do?
No.
This is what we should do. This is what we should do in verses 13. Read verse 13.
Psalm 17, verse 13. Arise, O Lord, disappoint him, cast him down, deliver my soul from the wicked, which is thy sword.
So David even knew that when he was being hunted for his life, or when people was coming up against him, it was something that he had to get right with the Lord so that the Lord would take that appointment of punishment away from him. Mm-hmm. David knew that. Moses knew it.
Yep.
Christ knew it, because he said, these are the days of vengeance where y'all going to get repaid for all the sins y'all did, and y'all going to be led captive into every nation of the world, and y'all going to be trodden down until the times of the Gentiles are done. This is the days of the repayment. Y'all got repaid before several times. Psalms 104 and Psalms 105, the entire chapters. But this one, this is the bigot. You know? Mm-hmm. So Christ knew it. How come we don't know
it? We're not reading and studying the Bible as far as ourselves. We're just going based on our emotions.
But we're the most religious people. I don't see the cat inject drugs into himself. And I'm like, dude, why are you doing that? This is a long time ago. I don't even hang around people like that anymore. But I was first starting to, like, start to read the Bible, and I was like, dude, why are you doing this? Why are you doing, oh, well, you know, I'm spiritual. And I'm, really? You're destroying yourself.
No.
You've fallen off the earth relative to the God-given talent that you were born with. And you spiritual? Okay. So what we have to do is we have to ask the Lord to take these things away from us. But why did they come on us from the beginning? Leviticus 26 said it, because we hate to do his commandments, abhor his judgments, hate his judgments, and Christ even said it. These are the days of vengeance, but you cats don't want to listen to the word of the Lord. Y'all going to get payment.
Mm-hmm.
So let's look at the second scripture I want to look at, Deuteronomy 28.
All right.
Excuse me.
All right, and verse
15.
Deuteronomy chapter 28 and verse 15. But it shall come to pass, if thou wilt not hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe to do all his commandments and his statutes, which I command thee this day, that all these curses shall come upon thee and overtake thee.
I know when people hear the word curses, they think of Merlin, you know, or somebody dressed like Gandalf. With the hat and the stick, and he's stirring the pot, and he's throwing in the eye of a newt, and the left second toe of a frog from the rear leg, and he's putting in this herb and all this. He got a big cauldron boiling, and then he says some incantation, and then, you know, some dude that married a beautiful woman last night, that's a prince, wake up in the morning, look over, and the woman is an ogre now. That's not a curse, according to the Bible.
Okay.
What the? I wasn't drunk last night. Wait a minute, this is my house. You know, no, that's not a curse. A curse, according to the Lord, is what his people get for not obeying his words. Remember, it was an understanding, but we went so far away from it, it had to be written down.
Mm-hmm.
Then we went so far away from that and added in our own stuff to whereby Christ was getting criticized for his disciples not washing their hands right, because the hands washing police before you eat food, or excuse me, the hands washing before you eat food police had determined that that was against some ordinance that they had broken. That was a tradition of the elders. And Christ is like, what are you, y'all spiritual and religious, but you are judging people by stuff that ain't even in the Bible.
Exactly.
You know, so this is why we get these punishments. Let's read verse 25.
All right, Deuteronomy 28, verse 25.
Mm-hmm.
The Lord shall cause thee to be smitten before thine enemies.
Mm-hmm.
Thou shalt go out one way against them, and flee seven ways before them, and shalt be removed into all the kingdoms of the earth.
Uh-huh. Okay. No, that's it.
Okay.
So we're going to be smitten before our enemies, not because they're so much more advanced than us, but because the Lord appointed that.
Mm-hmm.
As a curse on his people for their disobedience.
Yes.
Read verse 37.
Deuteronomy 28, verse 37. And thou shalt become an astonishment, a proverb, and a byword among all nations whither the Lord shall lead thee.
So an astonishment, a proverb, and a byword. Those are different slur words. Like, instead of like, what happened to these people?
Mm-hmm.
Why are they always killing themselves? I can't wrap my head around why they keep killing themselves so much. It couldn't be they don't understand thou shalt not murder, is it? Is that what it is? No, but they just keep killing themselves. And, you know, who sells heroin to their own people? Who sells crack? Don't they know what crack does? To their own people. And they got the nerve to buy them turkeys at Christmas and Thanksgiving.
Mm-hmm.
And don't try that tired excuse about, well, don't no black man bring drugs into the country. It's the white man's fault. No, it ain't, because look at Frank Lucas.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
Yep.
Okay? So don't use that excuse. It ain't nobody else's fault but ours.
Exactly. You have the choice whether or not you want to go into that or not.
Exactly. And a proverb and a byword among all the nations where the Lord shall leave us. That's why we get called the N-word, or Latinos get called slurs pertaining to them. Or the Negroes in Iraq, Iran, Russia, Pakistan, you know, India, they all have slurs attached to them, and they all live in the same conditions that we do. That's why we can go, what, 5,000, 8,000, whatever miles, travel to the UK, and ride down the street. Oh, man, this architecture is beautiful. Man, the city is so clean. And then, you know, about 12 blocks later, it's like, I was riding in the back of the minivan, and I'm looking out at the neighborhood. I'm like, yo, do they sell dope over here somewhere? Yeah, we just happened to cut through the hood, man. See, all them cats is laying up on that porch on that house. That's the dope house. Like, yeah, and it was all people that looked like us. I'm like, I just traveled. I just spent 9 hours on a jet.
Damn.
You know, they got jets that can carry the space shuttle, but I got to pay all this money for my back. You know, my bags and stuff like that.
Yeah.
So I'm spending all this exorbitant price. Thank God I had somebody who I could stay with at their house,
mm-hmm.
you know, to save some money. And I travel all that distance, jet lag and everything else, to see some cats that look like the same cats over here doing the same thing. Pants all, belt pants all around their knees.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Walking down the street like ducks. You know, holding they pants up so they can walk like the little girl on the beginning of Little House on the Prairie.
Hmm.
You know, so they can walk down the street. But they got guns killing each other,
mm-hmm.
but run from the police who don't carry guns.
crazy.
But that's the same type of thing we do here.
Exactly.
We'll kill each other, and then the police pull up on us. We'll throw the gun in the bushes.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that is a universal attitude or action amongst us throughout the world.
Mm-hmm.
And it is an identifying mark because it leads to the curses from the Lord.
Exactly.
Okay. Read verse 45.
Deuteronomy 28, verse 45. Moreover, all these curses shall come upon thee, and shall pursue thee, and overtake thee, till thou be destroyed.
Because the Europeans, is that why? Or because
nope.
The South Africans, because the, what, read why.
Because thou hearkenest not unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to keep his commandments and his statutes which he commanded thee.
Read on.
And they shall be upon thee for a sign and for a wonder,
mm-hmm.
and upon thy seed forever.
Read on.
Because thou hearkenest not the Lord thy God with joyfulness, because thou servest not the Lord thy God with joyfulness and with gladness of heart, for the abundance of all things.
Because we'd rather serve what we want to do or serve a man.
Yeah.
You know, so that's why these things come upon us. It ain't nobody else. Now, the Lord might appoint somebody to punish us.
Mm-hmm.
Like when Israel went off, what'd he do? Raise up the Philistines.
Exactly.
Raise up the Assyrians. Raise up the Midianites. Just read the first few chapters of the book of Judges.
Exactly.
As soon as Joshua and them died, they went and ran to serve what is now known today as Christmas and Easter,
mm-hmm.
and associated holidays, the pantheon of gods, which descended through time and is the same thing, just different names, slightly different customs, whatever, you know. But guess what? And they got punished for it because
mm-hmm.
the Lord would raise up people, other nations, to come in, invade our homeland and just take us and scatter us all over the place, and the people that was left there, they would tax them and take their food that they grew,
mm-hmm.
take their kids away from them and stuff like that, just like the same thing that's happening today.
Exactly.
You know, so that's something to think about. You know, you can read, please do, read Leviticus 25, verses 47 and 49. And that basically goes into how if a family member of yours ended up owing someone some money and joined themselves to them as an indentured servant or was taken by them as a slave, and you came up on enough money, you were supposed to buy them or redeem them from that servitude.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? So that's Leviticus 25. Actually, let's read it. We got a little time. We'll try to squeeze it in. Leviticus 25, read 47 to 49.
All right.
And this is the reason why a lot of our people had slaves
mm-hmm.
back in the day in the time of slavery, because they were actually buying their relatives from slavery, but they
mm-hmm.
had to keep the deed or whatever on them,
exactly.
so that nobody could come and snatch them up and say, listen, this was a slave that belonged to such and such.
Exactly.
So that's why it happened, because they were actually sticking to this precept in the Bible.
Exactly.
Read it.
All right, Leviticus 25, what verse again?
47 to 49.
And if a sojourner or a stranger wax rich by thee, and thy brother that dwelleth by him wax poor, and sell himself unto the stranger, or sojourner by thee, or to the stock of the stranger's family. After that he is sold, he may be redeemed again. One of his brethren may redeem him. Either his uncle or his uncle's son may redeem him, or any that is nigh of kin unto him of his family may redeem him, or if he be able, he may redeem himself.
That's like, I forget that it was a black-owned car company. It went out of business, I think, in the 30s. It got forced out of business by the big three. But the guy that started it, he used to do bicycles and stuff and you know, tractors and stuff like that. He was a former slave. He bought his freedom. He worked for this guy at this company. He ended up buying the company, and they made, it was a black-owned automobile manufacturer.
Mm-hmm.
I think it was Coleman or something like that. I have to verify that. I got so much information, so much little trivial information in my head. It forced some of the hair out the top of my head, you know. But it's in there somewhere. I remember it. I might remember it later on and mention it during the show. But he bought himself out of slavery and servitude, and then he ended up buying the company from the guy because he kept, you know, he's diligent with his money and stuff.
Right.
All right. Let's read Deuteronomy 28 and 68.
All right. Deuteronomy 28, verse 68.
Mm-hmm.
And the Lord shall bring thee into Egypt again with ships.
Stop. In the Ten Commandments, Egypt is known as the house of bondage. Exodus 20, verses 1 and 2.
Right?
Yes. I'll grab it. That's it. There it is. Exodus 20, 1 and 2. And God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. So Egypt is a house of bondage.
Mm-hmm.
So as part of these curses and punishments, the Lord was going to bring us into a house of bondage again. But like Christ said in Luke 21, throughout the world, okay, with ships transporting us long distances in Deuteronomy 28, and 48, 49, 50, you know, it talks about the symbol of the nation, and it talks about a land far away from me, and it's going to take you far away and stuff like that, you know, and put you in captivity,
mm-hmm.
all right, by transporting you long, long distances, slave ships being the way they did it this last time. Read 28 and 68 again.
Deuteronomy 28, verse 68,
mm-hmm.
And the Lord shall bring thee into Egypt again with ships, by the way whereof I spake unto thee. Thou shalt see it no more again.
Stop. You will not see your homeland again. If any of us have been back to Africa, even, excuse me, he's talking to the entire people.
Mm-hmm.
Have we all been back to Africa?
Nope.
Or back to where we came from before we got scattered into Africa, because the Africans knew that we weren't African.
Exactly.
All right. Have we? No, we haven't.
Nope.
Okay, read on.
And there ye shall be sold unto your enemies.
Who appointed these people to be our enemies?
The Lord, when you read the first three words. Yep.
Yeah. But if you also look at Leviticus 26.
Yep, that too.
The Lord will appoint this.
Yep.
And David knew it. They, listen, these people, you know, doing this and doing that to me, please take them away from me, Lord.
Exactly.
Let me get right with you so you can take them away from me, because the wicked, my enemy, is your sword to punish me.
Mm-hmm.
And then also Deuteronomy 28, 45 to 47, shows that they are doing this because it is a sign for us to look at when these things happen to us, who we really are, regardless of what people or the media or the movies or whatever tells us.
Exactly.
You know? So, did you have something?
Will you finish it?
I just wanted you to read that, then you can go to that scripture.
Oh, okay. All right. So let's go to Psalms 147.
Uh-huh.
And this is just going to bring a point out again, just everything that we've been saying. Just, I guess, just to hammer the nail down further.
Mm-hmm.
Psalms 147, reading 19 and 20.
He showeth his word unto Jacob, his statutes and his judgments unto Israel. He hath not dealt so with any nation. And as for his judgments, they have not known them. Praise ye the Lord.
So, you know, again, this is just showing the point here that he showeth his word to Jacob. Like when we read in Leviticus and Deuteronomy that we just read, Moses was dealing with the Israelites, his people.
Yep.
And we said before that those are not Africans. There's a difference, right? And he hasn't dealt so with any other nation. So only the Israelites were shown his statutes, judgments, mm-hmm. and we have not dealt with them like how he told us to deal with them.
Mm-hmm.
So therefore, only that set of people could be punished the way how he said that they're going to be punished, because he didn't deal with any other nations like that.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? So that's why we're going through the things that we're going through now, because mm-hmm. it was all written down aforetime and prophesied
mm-hmm.
that this was going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
Where's that one that says, who gave Jacob for a spoil to the robbers?
Isaiah.
I thought it was Psalms.
No, no.
All right. Isaiah, I think 40 or something.
Like yeah, that. 40, I want to say 45 and 14, but I'm not sure if that's it.
I got it. 42 and 24.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah, I'll read this. I'll read that from real quick, because that's
okay.
what I was thinking about.
Who gave Jacob for a spoil? Isaiah 42, 24. Who gave Jacob for a spoil and Israel to the robbers? Did not the Lord?
No, did not the white man?
No, did not the Lord?
Did not the Africans, brother?
And the Arabs and everybody else and whatever, the East Indians, the Asians, whatever, everybody.
Exactly.
Psalms 83.
Yep.
They entered into a conspiracy against us to destroy us and erase the memory of us from off the face of the earth. They even appointed other people to assume our identity.
Exactly.
However, it was not of any evil thing that they did of themselves.
Not at all.
The Most High put the Spirit on them and appointed them to do that because of our sins against Him.
Exactly.
That's why these things keep happening.
Exactly. So read it again for me.
Who gave Jacob for a spoil and Israel to the robbers? Did not the Lord, He against whom we have sinned? For they would not walk in His ways, neither were they obedient unto His law.
Okay, so again, same thing.
Yep.
The Lord is the one that did this. And the reason why we're mm-hmm. reading this,
mm-hmm.
we're still this same way today. We're still rebellious, even though you mentioned, we're the most religious people, whatever. We're still rebellious to the word of the Lord. We bring out the word of the Lord to people. Hey, man, the Lord says we shouldn't eat certain things, like pork, the so-called soul food that people...
Don't you talk about my pork.
Yeah, Christ cleansed that. No, brother, no, sister, Christ says that He didn't come to do away with the law or the prophets, so we still shouldn't be eating stuff like that. Man, I ain't trying to hear that. Still being rebellious to the word of the Lord, or hey, sister, you shouldn't be going around sleeping with these different dudes that you'd be sleeping with, man.
Mm-hmm.
One is paying your rent or so on and so forth, and you got it, all the ones that, sexes you real good and stuff. You're not supposed to be like that. Be a whore. Well, man, I ain't trying to hear that. We're still the same way today, and that's why we're reading these scriptures. So, we're reading out of the Old Testament, so on and so forth, but we're still those very same people.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why these things still keep happening, because we're not hearkening to the voice of the Lord. We're still not doing that.
Mm-hmm.
That's why it keeps happening, and that's why we're reading these scriptures.
Exactly. Just read Deuteronomy 28 and 68 again, right quick. Because we went over how it was in the law that we would try to redeem any of our near kindred from, slavery.
Yep.
If the Lord was to make us able. All right. So, no, go ahead.
Deuteronomy 28, verse 68.
Uh-huh.
And the Lord shall bring thee into Egypt again with ships,
mm-hmm.
by the way whereof I spake unto thee. Thou shalt see it no more again, and there ye shall be sold unto your enemies for bondmen and bondwomen,
mm-hmm.
and no man shall buy you.
So no man shall redeem you from that slavery. There were isolated instances where the Lord let some people, like I've read stories of a man, bought himself out of slavery, bought his wife and bought his kids, stuff like that. And you've heard about it where black people own slaves and stuff. But as far as redeeming or getting the entire people
mm-hmm.
as a group out of that slavery, it ain't going to happen.
Exactly.
Because the Lord said so.
Exactly. And you know what, too, bro? Just one thing.
Uh-huh.
Even in those isolated incidents that we read about, sometimes you got to be careful too, because when you do the research, a lot of them were mixed. Their father was a slave owner themselves, and we know the seed starts with the man.
Yeah.
So when I be reading stuff
they were
like that,
European.
Yeah, exactly. I'm like, man, the Lord's word is right every single time, man.
Exactly.
They weren't getting away.
Exactly.
So,
exactly.
You know, I just wanted to say that.
But it is, even if they did buy themselves out of slavery, they were still in captivity because they had other people's culture, other people's laws, other people's regulations and stuff that they were subject to.
Exactly.
You know. So let's go to Isaiah 41. There is a solution. All right? There is a solution to this. And it's not peaceful protest. It's not going and infiltrating the government and, you know, or guerrilla warfare. I'm thinking of that movie, The Spook That Sat by the Door. That's not the answer. The answer is not by any means necessary. The answer is not just keep hustling. The answer is, you know, to have an opinion on it and sound deep and eloquent. The answer is not Farrakhan. The answer is none other than the Lord, who is the person that put us in this captivity. Let me ask you this.
Mm-hmm.
If I owed you $10,000, right, and you sued me and you got my paycheck garnished, right, you went to court, you sued me, you won, you got my paycheck garnished. So now they're taking $200 a week out of my paycheck, all right? So I'm, like, hurting, all right? Can I go to the court, the one that you appointed when you won to garnish my check? Can I go to the court to get some relief, or can I go? Should I go to you, the one who I offended in the first place?
Yeah, you should go to me, the one that you offended in the first place.
And then maybe you could go to the court and say, hey, can you give, I know he owes me or whatever, give him some relief.
Right.
And then appoint the person that's doing the judgment for you.
Right.
And direct them to give me some relief.
Yep.
So the person that the judge and the, this, that, that put the judgment of you on me is basically just there doing his job.
Yep.
I need to get right with you.
Exactly. Yep.
That's the same way our condition is.
Exactly. Yep.
If we do get right with the Lord, who put this stuff on us, which is, and that's the reason why all of these, you know, and it's kind of hypocritical because we'll kill each other. We don't value our own lives.
Mm-hmm.
But then with somebody else that don't look like us kill us, oh, our lives matter now. Okay, well, let's. Okay, that's when people, like it said in Deuteronomy 28, it's an astonishment to other people that's around us. How can you not give one good about yourself? Well-placed call. Thank you. I'm getting better. How can you not give one care about yourself, but then when somebody else treats you just as bad, you go off on them, and now it's a national matter.
It's hypocritical,
Of course it is. Let's get right and let's care about ourselves first.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Let's go to Isaiah 41, because when we get right with the Lord, he's going to make things happen for us. Isaiah 41, start at 11.
Behold, all they that were incensed against thee,
that hated us,
shall be ashamed and confounded. They shall be as nothing. And they that strive with thee shall perish.
Wow. Okay, so the stuff that they're doing to us, even though they appointed by the Lord, they need to tread very carefully.
Yeah.
Okay, read on.
Verse 12, thou shalt seek them and shalt not find them. Even them that contended with thee, they that war against thee shall be as nothing and as a thing of naught.
Okay. Okay, and it's kind of funny because some of these cats know the scriptures better than we do, but they're still doing what they do. Read on.
For I, the Lord thy God, will hold thy right hand, saying unto thee, fear not, I will help thee.
Mm-hmm.
Fear not, thou worm Jacob.
That's because that's what they treat us like, a worm to be stepped on. Read on.
And ye men of Israel, I will help thee, saith the Lord, and thy Redeemer the Holy One of Israel.
Holy One of who?
Israel.
Holy One of some church.
Nope.
Holy One of the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, according to as it is written.
Yep.
So that's the one that's going to redeem us from all these curses.
Yeah, Christ.
Exactly, Christ. Let's go to Luke 1, because I believe we're starting to get a little short on time. Let's go to Luke 1, and this is when John the Baptist was born. His father was mute until he was born.
Right.
And then when he was born, all of a sudden that muteness was taken off of him, and he was able to talk. Listen to what his father said. Isaiah 1, read 68.
Luke 1, 68.
Yes, thank you. Isaiah doesn't have a 68th verse in the first chapter. Luke 1, 68.
Blessed be the Lord God of Israel.
Of who?
Of Israel.
Okay.
For he has visited and redeemed his people.
How is he going to redeem his people? By giving us John the Baptist, and then especially giving us Christ, because John the Baptist was going to lead us to Christ as he was doing. And then Christ is going to come and give that example of how to escape the judgment that's coming at the end in him. Okay? How to escape the judgment in him and how the judgment that's coming in him.
Yep.
All right? Read on.
Luke 1:69, and hath raised up an horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David.
Okay, because Christ descended from David. Read on.
As he spake by the mouth of his holy prophets, which have been since the world began.
So that to understand, the Old Testament is important.
Yep.
Because that explains a lot of stuff that what the New Testament is, all the stuff that the New Testament is based on.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's like going to see the movie Titanic, a 3-hour movie. You get in, it's 5 minutes left, and they sitting there floating on a piece of wood, and you're like, oh yeah, I understand it. Okay, just keep reading.
Luke 1 verse 71.
Yeah.
That we should be saved from our enemies and from the hand of all that hate us.
Wow. Read on. Just read on.
To perform the mercy promised to our fathers and to remember his holy covenant, the oath which we swear unto our father Abraham.
So there was a covenant with Abraham as well. That's not talking about the Old Testament covenant that through Moses. That's talking about the covenant through Abraham. So we are really, really out of time, and we have to go. But this is why things happen to us, and the solution is Christ according to as it is written. With that, we say shalom.
Connect with the Body of Christ Church on Facebook, Twitter, and YouTube. You can like our Facebook page at facebook.com/theBOCC. Follow us on Twitter at TheBOCC. And view our videos on youtube.com/TheBOCC1. Link with us to learn more about repentance and salvation according to the Holy Bible. Remember what Christ said. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. We pray that the information on our pages guide you towards true repentance to the Heavenly Father in the name of Christ. Shalom. Body of Christ Church Radio Network broadcasts 7 days a week on blogtalkradio.com/TheBOCC. Listen to our archive broadcasts or check us out while we are live on the air. Come and visit us in the virtual living room at 2 o'clock p.m. on Sundays, where we examine current topics according to the scriptures. Are you looking for the truth? Can you handle the truth? Find out on Mondays at 8 o'clock p.m. It doesn't matter what church you attend or philosophy you believe, take the challenge to see, are you smarter than your pastor, on Tuesdays at 8 o'clock p.m. The world is engrossed in darkness, but it shall be destroyed by the light. Check out From Darkness to Light at 7 o'clock p.m. on Wednesdays, where all manner of witchcraft, occult practices, and Satanism is exposed for what it is. Before the light comes, it's time to awake. On Thursdays at 8 o'clock p.m. If you are seeking salvation, listen to Repentance is the Key, Fridays at 7 o'clock p.m. And after you've listened to all of these shows, Find out how we will become kings and priests Saturday mornings at 9 o'clock a.m. All shows are on Eastern Standard Time. Remember to check out the Body of Christ Church 7 days a week on blogtalkradio.com/theBOCC. That's blogtalkradio.com/THEBOCC. Shalom.